Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. It's a podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Fish Nerds, a show about fish, fishing, and eating fish. Show that's always interesting, usually funny, and mostly true. And I'm super happy to be here. Happy New Year, my first show of 2021, and recording this in the middle of a big insurrection. So definitely a good night to talk about fish, fishing, and eating fish. And I'm lucky tonight because I have a special guest. Mr. Christopher DeVos is here, host of Podcast 42, the world's most popular pop culture radio comedy show on the internet. Christopher, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, glad to be here. I don't know if lucky is the right word, but I was available.
That's my that's how I decide who to have on the show. Who's available?
Like, my schedule is free, so
pick me. So you make it the podcast 42, and you want to give us a quick like elevator pitch for that podcast?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird show. What we do is we pick a subject in pop culture history, and then we go over the history of that subject, but we kind of insert ourselves into a little radio play. And it's supposed to be funny, but it's a lot of fun.
You know, a lot of podcasts that are supposed to be funny are also fun. And I always find if it's fun for the host, it's fun for the audience. You know, if you're enjoying it, you can't fake it. So, well, that's cool.
We've actually achieved the milestone where we've been around so long that we can do the inside jokes and the audience gets it. So
really,
that is like a proud moment for me when people are like, oh my gosh, you just referenced that. I'm like, yes, you listen. You really listen.
You're there. We have a few of those there. But so what you're saying is you don't have any new listeners.
No, they're all old timers.
They've been all
same bad. People I've been paying for. Yeah. Since for 5 years.
Yeah. Fishner's the same way. Our crew has been with us for quite a long time. Most of them, we have some new people coming every week, but we're happy to see them. So we're going to talk to you a little bit. Also, we've got the Crappie Hippie and the Pond Lady with us to talk pond. They found a new alien animal, and they're going to talk about that for a long time. It's going to get real nerdy, real fast. And we're going to do the news. So a lot of fun tonight on the Fish Nerds podcast. In fact, why don't we just... why don't we jump in with get the promos out of the way, and then we can get into the show. Do you know this promo?
I do know this promo.
You are now listening to the world's most popular history podcast on Spreaker, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and everywhere fine podcasts lurk. It's Podcast 42.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
I just went ding, ding, ding with my mouth.
Hello, this is Magruder.
I don't know, Chris. Why don't you ask the animals?
I don't believe anyone has called you a tiny orange tonight. Like, little bitty ones. Like, pop them in your mouth and you're done.
We call it the Rambo Slambo.
But then again, it was all about me, and I love me, even dead me.
Because I need to endorse products that are family-friendly. Like the Jell-O, like the orange Jell-O, like the yellow Jell-O, like the Jell-O Jigglers, like the floop and the fleep and the fleep-fleep-flop.
Listen for free on Spreaker.com/podcast42.
Well, there you have it. I can't decide if I want to listen to the show or not after hearing that.
That's why the promo's so long. So if you decide not to listen to the show, you've actually listened to the show.
You've been fooled into it.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, everyone. I love podcasts. Who's got recommendations and scent? That was quick.
Do you like comedy? What about movies? Pop culture.
Yeah.
Do you like animals? What about science?
Well, yeah.
Do you dig plants? What about writing, snacks, rambling, and rant?
Well,
filmmaking, improv, and interviews, Canadians, Australians, voting forecasts, and super views, ladies, gentlemen, cretins, or comic books, script reads, bad TV, heads that shook, perfectly big packages popping up, podcasts pointing people to discover other podcasts.
Yes.
Fantastic. Check out the Podfix Network.
podfixnetwork.com, at Podfix on Twitter, official_Podfix on the gram. Plus, check out Podfix Presents, wherever fine podcasts are found. The Podfix Network, artist-owned and loved.
Well, there it is, Podfix Network, and I'm on that network now. I feel like the new kid, finally.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Other shows on there that I know we have a lot of overlapping audience with the Varmints, who are on. So a lot of our listeners are there, too. All right, so we're going to do, let's jump right into the news right away and get that out of the way. Then we can talk about the Pond Lady and the Crappie Hippie. Sound good to you?
Yeah.
Everybody loves fish in the news. And so, you, Christopher, you were saying you don't really fish.
No, I love to eat fish. My wife, unfortunately, is allergic. So I have to sneak out and eat it on my own. But if I could just eat fish and seafood, I'd be a happy boy.
All right. Well, so what's your favorite fish to eat?
I like them all. Recently, I've been having a resurgence with salmon, where I kind of avoided salmon forever because it seems like every restaurant will do salmon because the price point's right.
Right, it's cheap.
It's cheap. They make money on it. I'm like, salmon? Okay, you got salmon on your menu? Great. Yeah, well, how about something new? But lately, I've been all about the salmon, especially on a wood plank. I don't know what it is. Cedar plank salmon, maple? I'm there. Oh, yeah.
I it's funny because this year for Christmas, I gave out cedar planks with a salmon recipe for my family. So they got maple syrup that I made myself, a cedar plank, and then a recipe on how to make a spice rub. And you do the spice rub onto the salmon, then you pour the maple syrup all over the top of the salmon, and you plank it. And that sweetness with that spicy, spicy rub is perfect for the salmon. Cooked medium rare. It's delicious.
You said you made your own maple syrup?
I make my own maple syrup every year. It comes out of the trees. It's free. You just drill a hole in the tree. It drips into a bucket, and you boil it. You're done.
Really? That's it?
It's it. There's no ingredients. You just boil it.
Oh, well, I'm in Florida. I can't tap a palm tree.
Maybe you can.
I should try it just so the neighbors hate me even more.
It'd be really funny putting all these splines in your what part of Florida are you in?
Orlando.
Orlando. The part of Florida.
The only part of Florida that counts.
Yeah, my parents.
Orlando and Key West.
Yeah, my parents are in Tampa, but we don't talk about that. All right, our first story is not about Florida at all. It's from the independent.co.uk. The headline is, man pulls 19 hand grenades out of the river while magnet fishing. Are you familiar with magnet fishing?
No, I'm guessing that you like a Wile E. Coyote gigantic magnet.
You're
and
right
then
on
you
money.
Feed the fish magnets and you pull it out like that.
Yeah, well, we've done whole episodes on this, and I do some magnet fishing myself. You take these giant magnets that can hold like 75 or 80 pounds, tie a rope around them, you chuck them in the river, and you pull them in. You see what pieces of garbage you pull out of the river, and almost always you're pulling out garbage, old nails, people's old phones, all just junk. And then once in a while, you find treasures, and that's the hope. People have found like antique guns. They found safes with money in them. And this person in the UK found hand grenades.
So the intention is not to pull fish.
Nope, you're just fishing for junk.
Pulling junk. So kind of like the old man with the metal detector, except you're in the water.
That's exactly right. And it's getting more and more popular every year. Bomb disposal experts are called out on site on the outskirts of Birmingham after an angler pulled out 19 grenades out of the river. Now, just kind of, if it's me, I pull out a grenade, right. I'm done.
Running.
I'm not going for the second one. Right. If I get to 14, maybe, maybe it's too many grenades. But Shea Williams was using a magnetic device in the River Tame near Sutton in an effort to find an old fishing lure he had lost when he began hauling up grenade. He really wanted that lure back, hauling up grenade after grenade. The 42-year-old said he realized it might be best to contact the police.
You think?
Yeah, after he realized they were World War II grenades and they still had their pins in place. So that's fun. Police officers then evacuated the stretch of the river, and they called in the bomb squad. Mr. Williams was disappointed because he could not keep the grenades afterwards. It was found out they did not have any explosives anymore, but the bomb squad took them all anyway. And that's kind of the whole story. But now, I used to work in a fish cannery in New Jersey. And the way that worked is these big boats would go out in the ocean. They would dredge the bottom of the ocean with these huge cages, and they bring them right to the cannery. They dump all the clams onto a conveyor belt, and they would roll down the belt. And every 10 feet in front of us on the belt, as we're shucking clams, which is an awful job, by the way, there's a cement drum with a giant explosive sign on it. And ever so often, someone yells, "Down!" hits a button, the line stops, we all duck, and they throw that, whatever they found, into the cement buckets, because grenades were commonly found off the Jersey Shore.
Oh my gosh.
And those were just meant to throw them in there so they can explode and get back to work.
Oh, the mobsters.
I know. It's from the old wars. But none of us ever found an actual grenade. There was like rocks full of garbage. But it was really fun to yell grenade, hit the button, and duck behind the clams for safety.
But well, it's a good thing they didn't let them keep the grenade, because I just recently watched the Richard Jewell story, the guy who saved the Olympics, the Atlantic Olympics, mm-hmm. and then he was accused of actually bombing it instead of saving it.
Oh no!
And one of the reasons why the police found him suspicious, because he had grenades, like real grenades, but they were like souvenir grenades, and they didn't have all the parts in them. So that's probably why the police told him he couldn't keep it. So
right, because then
he bombed somebody.
They're going to assume he's going to do that, or he's going to go march on Washington.
Right.
Either one of those two things is bound to happen.
Zero to zero in a second.
Yeah, but I mean, it must have been really interesting, and he got famous from it. So that's our first story there. Have you ever found anything weird in a river?
Nope. I tend to avoid the rivers. We have I'm from Ohio originally, and I can't remember if we had these in Ohio, but we have retention ponds down here because the ground is so – you can't dig into the ground. Mm-hmm. So when it rains, the rain doesn't also really soak into the ground. It has to collect in these pools of water. And I don't remember them in Ohio. They could have been, but I was really young.
Yeah, I've seen those all over Orlando.
What's that?
I've seen those all over Orlando. I've tried fishing in them too. I've caught fish in them.
Yeah, they put fish in them and stuff like that. But they always smell, so I try to avoid anything that's not a pool.
Mm. That's probably smart. I caught fish in the one right in front of Bass Pro Shops in Orlando.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And then I was staying on a golf course, and I fished in all the golf course ponds and caught tons of fish, too.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Why is that?
Alligators.
I know. I saw an alligator. So here's a day. I was fishing in a golf pond. And I was catching carp using an ice fishing rod. So my rod's 2 feet long. I was using 4-pound test. And I'm trying to reel the carp in. He's fighting, but I can't get him to shore. But so I have to get in the water to get him off the hook. And there's an alligator like 8 feet from me.
Mm-hmm.
I was so happy. So I got in the water. I got the fish off. The alligator never cared one bit what I was doing.
He might have been full. So you might have been lucky, but they love golf course ponds, alligators.
I imagine. He wasn't that big, though. He's only 3 feet long.
That would still bite your face off.
That would be so cool. All right.
It's hard to podcast without a face.
I know. You mumble a little bit. All right. Our next story is from Fly Lords Magazine. And this is actually a real fishing story. The headline is, "Fly Fishing Team Wins 178 Boat Bass Tournament Outfishing Conventional Tackle Teams." Is an impossible headline to make sense of. And what may be the biggest upset in American bass fishing tournament history, a fly rod helped take home first prize as the Wild West Bass Trails, WWBT, Lake Shasta tournament on January 2nd. Anglers Ryan C. Williams and his partner Logan McDaniel took home the overall W in the Big Fish Prize tournament. They did it using fly rods. And that's the whole story. This is notable because bass fishermen, I want to offend you, Christopher. But bass fisher.
Noted.
Yeah, you got it. Bass fisher people are hardcore anglers, and they really fish using one kind of rod almost always, which is a bait caster rod. And they're using super heavy test, throwing giant lures that look like, you know, a Chevy married Lady Gaga and had a baby, like just this crazy looking stuff. And so fly fishers don't usually fish in bass tournaments. It's not, it's almost like a mismatch. And so to see a fly fisher do that, it's kind of a big deal thing. And it was bound to happen eventually. But I'm sure they got made fun of a lot before they finally caught those fish, because it's just very different kind of person does fly fishing versus bass tournament fishing. And then,
I'd be made fun of because the kind of rod that I have is, remember the Andy Griffith show and the opening, and Opie's walking down the path with his little bamboo rod? That's generally what I use.
Can you whistle that theme?
No.
No.
It's been so long since I've seen it. I know it's super famous. I'm failing. That's it.
It's hard to whistle.
It is hard to whistle.
Yeah, I've never seen the show. But
what? Seriously?
That theme is in my brain from being an American human.
It's a classic. You have to watch it. It is good. It holds up today. I mean, the themes don't hold up today, but the humor definitely holds up today.
You know what doesn't hold up? Dukes of Hazzard.
Just a good old boy.
I love that show so much as a kid. And I think it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime now, all the old original ones. And it just doesn't work.
They're going to have to CGI the hood.
I'm over that. Just the show wasn't as funny as I thought it was.
No, and I loved that show as a kid, and my mom would never let us watch it because, of course, the bad guys were the good guys, and the good guys were the bad guys. The moonshiners were the good guys, and the cops were the bad guys. And little did she know that was just a precursor to today.
It's modern. It's right. Well, maybe it was ahead of its time.
Maybe. Top of the car, not the hood, is what I meant.
And I got one more story, and if there's anyone listening here who has small children or is offended by medical stuff, especially stuff that goes in your body or body parts, this is going to get a little bit dirty, because every year the defector.com puts out an article called "What Did We Get Stuck in Our Rectums Last Year?" And this year there are fish-related things, and so I thought we might go down the list of things people got stuck in their rectum this year.
It's bringing back memories.
Yes, I know. It's like, reminds me of Saturday night. by the way, in fairness, the article also shares things stuck in ears. Did you ever get anything stuck in your ear?
No, it's not as fun in the ear.
Definitely not as fun in the ear. How about your nose?
No, nothing. I don't think I've ever gotten anything stuck in me.
I once.
Now I can think about it.
When I was younger, I went camping up in Gettysburg, New York with my family. And, you go to little gift shops, you buy little bags of marbles. And I stuck two marbles in my nose, one in each nose hole. Thought I would be able to blow them out and hit my sister in the head with them. Yeah. I couldn't get them out. Nope, I had to get my dad to help.
What? How? How?
So he tried squeezing and pushing, and that just hurt a lot.
Oof.
So eventually he just made me like blow as hard as I could until they came out. But it took a lot of blowing. My ears felt like they ruptured. My eyes were watering.
Oh my gosh.
Eventually got them out. Yeah. So from that point forward, I put smaller marbles in my nose.
No, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't learn.
You're not allowed to play Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Definitely not. People got things stuck in their throat, in their man and lady parts, of course. And finally, we're going to go down a list of things people got stuck in their rectum. And I'm only doing this because there is a fish-related thing on there. Otherwise, I would skip this. We would never talk about it and speak of it again. I have no choice.
Too bad.
I'm obligated to have this conversation with you, Christopher.
Okay. Disclaimer. Got it.
Disclaimer. And just FYI, the fish nerds have no official opinion on what one should or should not put into their body. It is your body. You do what you want. We have no opinion on it. We are not here to judge what you put in your body.
What if I had the question of what's the best fish to stick in your up body? There?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
We're going to find out. And by the way, the fishers do not endorse putting anything alive into your body.
Okay.
That's a rule. That's where we start judging.
I'm glad you clarified.
Here is a list of things, and I'm just kind of, we're going to just talk about whatever is interesting here. I got bouncy balls stuck in butts. I can understand that. Yeah. You know, maybe they want to play a little ping pong.
You know, no, shoot it out at a target.
Multiple marbles.
Easy enough.
Toothbrush case. Crayons. You know, maybe they're writing a letter. Dirty
art. Letter. That's their art. Get a canvas, you're good to go.
That's right. And some of them are quotes from the doctors. Quote, put a pencil up his rectum and now can't sit. I can imagine that. Nail polish bottle, shaving gel bottle, aerosol container. These are getting bigger.
Yeah, no.
Here's another one. Patient reports inserting a deodorant spray can inside his rectum last night as he was constipated.
I would think a plunger might be a better choice, but yeah,
he's embarrassed about what he did to himself, and he had to come up with a story, and that was his story. Mm-hmm. The best he can do.
Okay.
So I hope it helped. The one very exact same story using a shampoo bottle because he was constipated.
What kind of shampoo?
It must work or so many people wouldn't do it. We don't hear about the success stories.
No, we don't.
You know, so a small foam football. A stick, a screwdriver, and the handle fell off.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's a bad mojo.
Was it Phillips? Was it a flathead?
Definitely had to be a flathead. At least it wasn't an Allen wrench. All right. Here's one. This is my, was intoxicated and is uncertain if she used her anal beads or not. Either way, she can't find them. None were found in her exam.
Oh.
So she went to the doctors because she couldn't find these things.
Right.
Doctor did all the looking.
And couldn't find them.
Couldn't find them, and she didn't have them in her. So all that embarrassment for nothing.
They're in the microwave.
Definitely in the refrigerator, yeah. Freezer.
Yeah.
Yeah. A pipe. I'm going to skip the obvious toys that are designed for that job. Apple. And here we go, fish-related item, a toy shark.
Okay.
That made me have no choice but to read this list to you.
Because of the toy shark.
It's the only thing I could find to connect this story to the fish nerds.
It would be awesome if the toy shark had the squeaker in it.
I was just thinking the same thing. He's walking around, he farts.
Yeah. I wouldn't have it removed then.
No, in that case, you keep it.
Yeah, definitely.
Right, you go to the movies, you're all hanging out nice and quiet and popcorn. Mm-hmm. Wait till there's like someone kissing on the screen, then squeaky. Everyone's looking around. What's going on? Nothing?
No.
Excuse me. Pardon me. What's that smell? It smells like shark and dead.
Shark and plastic.
Shark and plastic. The question though, I the only thing I wish they had on here is more detail.
Yes, I want to know the stories.
I want the story behind it. I want to know what kind of shark. Was it a hammerhead? Was it a thresher shark?
I hope it wasn't a hammerhead.
Maybe that's why I got stuck. I want to know how big it is. I want to know, was it hollow? I want to know, did it have a squeaker in it, like you said? Did it have a squirt gun attachment? Because that could be fun.
Maybe he or she worked their way up to a megalodon shark.
Very big shark. Maybe, you know those sharks on a stick? You know, you pull the trigger and the mouth opens and closes. Maybe it's one of those. You know, and then maybe he has an excuse because maybe he was fixing something and his hands were full. And he thought, okay, how can I have a third hand?
Yes.
Shark on a stick, put it in my butt. Now I got a third hand. I'm going to have that shark steady the thing while my hands turn screws.
And you just have to work on your sphincter muscles and you're good to go.
You know, a little practice. You know, they say 10,000 hours, you can be an expert at anything.
Yeah.
So, including.
I know what I'm doing tonight.
Got to go find those shark toys. Yeah. The list goes on and on. There's probably about 30 more things that people have got stuck in their butts and gone to the doctors for. And there's probably about 1,000 more that people got stuck in their butts and never went to the doctors, and those things are still there because they're embarrassed.
That would be me. I just keep it in there. It would be part of me.
Yep, I'm going to die today. And that is Fish in the News.
News, fish in the news. Everybody loves their fish in the news.
That was lovely. Thank you for helping out with the news today.
No problem. Just a real quick note. You know how, like people as a kid, we were afraid of quicksand?
Yes.
And as an adult, you find out that quicksand's not, it's not around. It's not something to be feared of.
No, it's disappointing.
As a kid, to relate to the shark butt story, as a kid, I'd seen National Geographic or something of the little fish in the Amazon. Mm-hmm. I think they're in the Amazon. Yep. And they'll swim up your parts if yep. you pee in the Amazon.
You talk about this fish a lot.
Do you remember the name of them? I don't remember the name of them. But that was my irrational fear as a kid.
Well, because they're attracted to your urine stream.
Yes. Not that I would go into lots of water to pee.
Right.
But I just can't imagine what kind of pain that would be.
It's called a candiru.
Candiru, okay.
Candiru, sometimes known as a penis fish. Small Amazonian catfish that's reported to lodge itself into the urethra of people who may be urinating in the water. So, yep.
Not that I had ever gone anywhere near the Amazon to have this irrational fear, but, you know, just general lakes and stuff would make me wonder if one had escaped on a boat and come over here and now was going to attack me in the water.
Well, yeah, I mean, they are really, really scary. And there's also internet rumors about Pacu, who will target human nuts as a food source as well. The HuffPost has reported several stories over the last few years with a nut-eating fish about the Pacu.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I wrote an article about it once called Pacu Lies, because it's never, ever happened. And Snopes.com stole my headline. They used the exact same headline I used, Pacu Lies. And then when I emailed them to get credit for it, they changed their headline.
Oh, okay.
Rather than give me credit. They can, you know, can't tag the fish nerds.
You have to be careful with Snopes too, because they're not always correct.
Oh, nothing's always correct. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
But more importantly, they stole my headline.
Yes, that's bad. That's wrong. Bad. Yeah, that's almost as bad as a penis fish.
Nothing's as bad as a penis fish. Speaking of penis fish, let's talk about Amy Robeson and John King, the crappy hippie. They're with us tonight. They're going to talk all about the mysterious new life form they found in a pond. And this is...
Hello, Fish Nerd Nation. This is Amy, the Pond Lady, welcoming you to Pond Talk. It's a segment where we investigate the joys and challenges of managing ponds and other small bodies of water.
So whether you own a property with a pond on it, have some say as to how a community lake, pond, or stream is utilized, or simply share the dream of having a little bit of water to call your own,
you're going to want to join John King, the crappie hippie, and me, freshwater ecologist Amy Robeson, the Pond Lady, for some Pond Talk tonight on Fish Nerd Podcast.
Last week, Amy texted me, and she had a great article that was on the I Effing Love Science website, and I'm reading through it, and lo and behold, here's her name, and she's been in this Twitter investigation with several other biologists over this organism that was found in a Nebraska sandpit pond. I just to think of a better thing to put on Pond Talk than to get with Amy, and let's talk about this organism, what it is, what it looks like, let's just get right into it right now. All right, Amy, set the scene for us. Where did, you know, what's going on here? Well, look, I took a look at the picture of this organism, clue the listeners in as to what, you know, what we're looking at and what this could possibly be. Being an audio medium, we're going to need you to give us a picture of what all the excitement's about. Go ahead.
Okay, so this was a fish kill event that was happening in a sand pit pond. This thing was, like I said, during a fish kill event, there were multiple organisms that were found that had a sort of fractal type growth pattern. And in that, by that, I mean it that it didn't really have symmetry in any one direction that could be created. If you were to cut this thing down a plane, every single way you cut it, the other side would look different. So this fractalized growth, this organism, they were anywhere from 3 to 7 inches in size. There were some that were free swimming or free floating. There were some that were attached to different pieces of substrate, roots, leaves, branches. There were quite a few of them that were found, and the Fishkill event was not attributed to this thing they found at all. But when they responded to the Fishkill event to see what the causative agent was, they found these things. They were moving on their own. And okay. So,
well, actually, of course, I know what fractal shape is because I'm really smart. not really, no. So what we're talking about, what I saw in the picture was kind of like roots, a lot of like roots coming up.
Mycelium. Mycelium,
perhaps, kind of like a fan right? coral. It just kind of webby, kind of.
Or sponge-ish, but without the body of it.
First thing I see when I look at it was slime mold. You know, I'm thinking slime mold. So if our listeners that like to hike and ramble in the woods and do a little log turning here and there, they, you know, those webby kind of mold. Familiar, but not too familiar. It wasn't exactly like that. Plus, it's in an aquatic environment. And while I know when people take and, for example, take wood out of the environment and go put it in their fish tank, sometimes they will bring a slime mold home and they can survive in an aquatic environment.
Some people grow them as pets.
I had a biology teacher that had several, and he had an orange and a yellow and a, I think a white one, and he was always on the hunt for a red one. You have a fish kill, so y'all get in on it. You see this webby, this crazy looking creature,
and it's moving.
And it's moving.
There's video of it moving. This is not just biologists that responded that said that they saw it moving. There is documentation, video,
photo, video,
photos, videos. There were multiple biologists on site that responded. Now, you know, we put it out to the Twitterverse and it just absolutely exploded. And, you know, everybody's weighing in on what they think this thing could possibly
be. Okay, so what do they think it is? Is it from outer space?
I mean, do you want to know what the, how about this? Let's go through what the Twitterverse said, because like you had said, with the growth pattern, this could be anything in terms of, you know, we got guesses from, is it a parasite, like a, some kind of a worm, some kind of a parasitic cnidarian that we don't know about, which if a cnidarian is like a jellyfish, and there is an obligate cnidarian parasite of paddlefish and sturgeon eggs that exists in Oklahoma paddlefish. And I'm sure, you know, paddlefish throughout the United States have this little jellyfish parasite that lives inside their eggs, but it's tiny and it really never gets bigger than the size of an egg. It does have a free floating stage, but it wouldn't form an aggregate, a collection that would be able to be act like a single organism like this thing was. And the size of it was confounding because even if it was something like that, it's not anything anybody in that area had ever seen. It's not something I've ever seen in Oklahoma, which of course is why I can't stop thinking about it since I found out. You know, we also got, you know, is this a lichen? Is this a bladderwort, which is a kind of aquatic plant? Is this a bacteria? Is this an aggregation of bacteria, which I don't. You know, people were saying that it wasn't moving on its own. The video was unclear, that it looked like things underneath were causing the thing to move. But I actually got it's great that we're doing this today, because I got a shout out from the aquatic invasive species biologist in Nebraska today that confirmed that absolutely this thing was moving tactile movements on its own when stimulated, you know, when it was touched.
Okay, we're going to talk about, the appearance is crazy, because I did some research, you know, my 15-minute Google sweep, kind of looking this stuff up, and I found out, like, for example, in a slime mold, you know, it can be single little units, or they can amalgamate together.
Right.
To form what looks like one living being. Talk about that a little bit. It could be like one thing, like a bladder wart or a sponge or something, or it could be what you call an aggregate organism that certain small organisms have come together due to some sort of environmental, perhaps environmental stimulus. So what is your favorite so far on the ideas for what it is?
Well, until today, I was really convinced that it was an aquatic slime mold.
Me too. See, that's why I'm just tripping out on this now.
That was being manipulated underneath by fish or moved by wind and water eddies, just because you can see a little bit of wind in that very first video And so I was convinced it was a collection of those two things. Was, yes, it was a slime mold, but no, it was not moving of its own volition. It was just being moved around because of the pond.
Now, slime molds can move, but don't they tend to move in response to, because what's really turning everybody on is that you've shown that it responds to some, you know, tactile. It seems to have some sort of sensitivity, either chemically or
quick.
Quick, yeah.
Quick so response. A quick response. Slow response.
And yeah, because like, oh, we say, oh, a slime mold can move, but they're super slow. They're just super responding, trying to move from area to area based on food or chemistry or what have you.
Right.
So, but gosh, do we dare? Now, a guy like me says, oh, you touch something that moves, it must have some nerves. Now, that seems a pretty big stretch. Tell me other reasons why it may move quickly when stimulated by touch.
And that's where it's stumping us, is because even the Twitterverse, even this aquatic invasive species biologist, we all agreed that, and in terms of sort of this type of organism, when you say moving slow, it actually moves pretty fast. And
sure, because you can watch it move. And
if slime, you sit there long
because a lot of people, when they talk about them in their aquariums, they're like, oh, it was on the log in this spot, you know, one day. And then the next day it was down, you know, in the middle. And so they know, they're like, I know it has to be moving, but
exactly.
They don't have the time lapse patience of a machine to record that.
And that's what was tripping everybody up, is that none of us, even like the, you know, there are different parts of Twitter, like fungus Twitter and mycology Twitter, you know, the invert Twitter, all these different segments of Twitter were sort of banding together to figure out what this was. And the fungus sort of slime mold enthusiast even said that it didn't matter what sort of species or anything that they were knowledgeable of that would move quick enough that you didn't need time lapse to see it move.
Wow. Basically. Okay. So that's what we're talking about, rapid movement. This is something you can see with the eye in a relatively short time. We will have the links and so forth to the article with the videos and so on,
and pictures
down in the show notes, some pictures, and we'll get you even some contacts if you really want to do a deep dive on this thing.
Yes. But
so tell me once again, so when the professor or the doctor or the researcher, the gentleman from Nebraska stimulated it and it seemed to react, what's going on there?
I really don't even know, because, okay, this was his guess, was that it was some kind of bryozoan. This is an organism we see usually in Oklahoma that form these slimy balls that either attach to things or free float. I don't know if you've ever seen these.
I've had them in the pond, and we had some nerds put it on the Facebook fishing group. So bryozoan, you know, looks like a ball or a glob, or you know, this thing looks like
a worm,
roots, like a worm. Yeah, reaching out, spreading out, moving along.
If you've ever seen this is what I had a good talked to a couple of biologists in the state of Oklahoma. Even one of them is, been doing this for most of his life and has lived all over Oklahoma because of his job with the state. And he had even said, you know, but he didn't see the video, and he said that looks like the roots of a tree, like if you would see the mycelium of tree roots, like in the springtime, sometimes you'll see them on the top of the ground when it's really moist. You see that type of pattern. So but you would never think to touch a tree root and have it move.
Right. And to bring us all up who aren't into mycology, mycelia is the sort of like the root of fungi. It's, you know, sometimes see it, it's a webby looks like webs or spider webs. You pull up a plant and it'll have this webby stuff on it. And guys,
it's the non-mushroom part of the mushroom.
The non-mushroom part of the mushroom that it makes the little nodes that the mushroom pops up. And
That's the simplest way to say it.
Yeah, very simple way. But yeah, I saw it attached to like that piece of grass.
Some of them were attached and some of them were
free moving. Yeah.
And he sent me some more videos today too. So I even have more.
Now you got it. You got to keep in touch with that guy because this is setting up just like the movie. Next thing you know, he's going to go touch it to see if
he's going to get something weird.
He's going to get on his finger, it's going to be like the blob. It's going to be on his whole hand and he's trying to tweet. And then when he's like, when you see him tweet A-H-H-H-H-H,
it's over.
It's over. And
well, I want it, but that's the thing. I want one. I need one. Like, I'm so upset that I don't have
one. You're just like a little kid,
I am. but here's another thing, too, is that, let's say this is some kind of weird invasive species we don't know about. Nebraska's not terribly far away. Is this something I need to worry about in my pods? What is this?
So let's get down to the pond lady's best theory. We've had a fish kill event. We've had this. Obviously, that puts a lot of nutrient into the pond. It when we undo living things back to their component parts, that tends to create a rich environment. And so all of a sudden these organisms show up. Talk to me about it, Amy. What's your best guess? Uh-oh, I got on the spot.
I know this is bad because this is, you're looking at 20 plus years of studying aquatic ecosystems, either through a school, through work, or through my own research, or now on my own at home. To all of my years growing up in Oklahoma and all kinds of ponds and all kinds of states at different seasons, different times of fertility, different types of ecosystems that the pond is in. And I'm super stumped. That's why I can't stop thinking about it. Because until today, Jared and I were just absolutely convinced it was that, like I said, the aquatic slime mold that was being moved around. But are we dealing with a type of slime mold that reacts faster? I just can't think. Well, here's another confounding factor. So you talk about the difference between bacteria and things like us. So something that is prokaryotic, that doesn't have essentially its DNA and a nucleus. It doesn't have, there are different types of cellular structures with bacteria and with things that are of higher order, including things like, the slime molds that we're talking about, which are eukaryotes. And we're eukaryotes. We have membrane bound nucleoles. I think I'm saying it wrong.
I'm so thrilled that I have membrane-bound nucleoles.
If I say that wrong, I'm going to be super, super embarrassed here.
Well, I think you're going to be fine because you're
Let me go back.
You're among friends here, young lady.
Let me go back and say bacteria and higher order things, including things like the slime mold and like us, have different types of cells. And so when you look under a microscope, you can usually tell if something is of bacteria origin or, say a plant or a slime mold fungus or, like a worm or any higher order cell, they have different looks under the microscope, of course, since there were no discernible cellular structures. So when they looked at this under the scope, they didn't see a nucleus. They didn't see, so it looked more like a bacteria.
Bacterial, okay.
But and that is one of the guesses that people came up with is this an amalgamation of an aggregation of bacteria? But even in my experience with bacterial biofilms, when bacteria do clump together and form these masses, sort of like, I brew my kombucha, which is a symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. It's sort of like a sourdough starter. It's got natural cultures in there that creates a biofilm, sort of like what you would find in a pond between either the substrate and the water at the bottom or the air and the water at the top. There's all kinds of biofilms on plant surfaces and things like that, right? So people said maybe this was bacteria that was coming together in these clumps. But in my experience, for the most part, in a short-term event like that, it had only been a short period of time the fish kill was occurring, and this stuff was staying together. So they were picking it up in a dip net.
Because I want to talk about how they're going to eliminate, you know, how are we going to research this? How are we going to, you know, it's a process of elimination, this and that. Yes. So already first thing you got me with is they're not finding a nucleus, or they're kind of
membrane-bound organelles. There we go. Gosh, my brain. Okay. Yes.
Okay. So, membrane-bound organelles.
So, like a nucleus.
It's a band from the 60s. You look to see that. You look to see, is it eukaryotic? Is it prokaryotic? So now, you know, and you're going to go back and forth. A good researcher always keeps that open mind, and it doesn't mind. Keeps that nice flexibility because...
Well, and if you think about this too, if we don't know what it is, it's kind of hard to know how to preserve it.
Right. And
how to prepare it, how to stain it or fix it or...
But then again, the luxury here is that, at least in this pond, you've been able to capture several specimens. So it's not like you're dealing with the last butterfly on earth or something where you're,
that's true.
You
know, but if
you don't have
the
sample and you screw it up, then you can't get more resource.
From what I know about slime, like slime molds, mm-hmm. they can be episodic, sort of like your columnaris issue.
Right.
So it can be very short lived. Well, maybe they won't be able to find them again for a long time.
That's the thing. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried this is going on, you know, all the time. And it's only because it was a cool weather fish kill as opposed to, say, on a hot summer day, you know, where maybe it would bloom and then just burn out really quickly.
But they still did think.
Or they may not be associated at all. I mean, you've already.
That's right. We are. This is sort of a correlation causation. We don't necessarily know they're related. We're assuming they are because. The landowner had never seen anything like this in the pond after, I don't know how long they've owned it, but yeah, this is a definite mystery that has just become a little bit more convoluted.
Yeah, it's really a profound mystery. I know also one of the ways that researchers find out what something is to figure out what it's not.
Yes. And so can we grow it on a plate, or, you know, like, can we grow it at all? Can we keep it alive? I don't know. That's kind of like, I'm glad we're talking about this. I'm glad it's going to go out to the podcast nation. Maybe we'll generate enough buzz that somewhere in this country or another country, somebody's seen this thing before, or they know what it is, or they can reach out to us.
Please reach out if you're hearing this, and we do have listeners all around the world, believe it or not, because it's fascinating to me. So far, it doesn't seem to be an alien that's destined to take over the earth. Although if this fingers crossed, and Amy's going to keep an eye on the gentleman from Nebraska. So he starts acting weird and talking about wanting to assume world power, or mm-hmm. he starts having some sort of radioactive superpowers or something. She will know. She'll be the first one to know. But seriously, on the serious side, thanks for sitting down with me tonight and talking this over, because when you put that up there, it's one of those things that even a person on my level of scientific knowledge can get in on, because I was just like you. I'm like, slime mold, gotta be. And now, what can it be?
Yeah, even with the bacteria idea, if we don't have any, let's say this isn't a decomposition issue, like that the structures are so decomposed that they can't be seen under the scope, and that's just why they're having problems seeing like a nucleus or any of the other organelles would distinguish that from something that was a bacteria or not a bacteria, like a slime mold. And so it's one of those things that if it was bacterial in nature, even then, would it be able to move on its own accord that fast? I mean, obviously, we know bacteria move and they are responsive, but can they form something that looks like a multicellular organism and then move on its own? So it seems like, like you said, every avenue you go down, something doesn't quite add up. So we are going to have to play process of elimination. And I hope those guys get a sample that's fresh enough that it's not just a decomposition thing, you know, because I mean, like, you know how this is being a fisherman, how quickly things break down in water and
break down because they got taken out of water.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. There's both sides of that. So it's fantastic. I haven't stopped thinking about it since then. And
well, that's fantastic. That's why you're where you belong among the nerd friends. And it's great that all this took place on Twitter, because that's actually how we got Doc for the show. Is that Clay and Doc started Twitter tweeting about fish and fish species and fish pictures. This whole community of scientists blowing it up on Twitter is fascinating to me.
It moves fast too. That's why I like Twitter a lot, because there's so many people on there, and just the nature of Twitter as a platform in general, it does move very quickly. You've got to keep up if you want to engage with people, or else you'll get drowned out real quick. So, but that being said, it because it does move quickly, you can put something out there like that. And I mean, like within 24 hours, we were getting contacted by IFL Science. So that's a pretty broad reach for somebody like me that's got a fairly small account. And, you know, I never expected to be, you know, for somebody that's a huge fan of that site in general, I thought that was really awesome to be featured. I was feeling a little extra famous that day for sure. So,
we're so proud of you, and we put it up on the Facebook Fish Nerd group.
And I will send you all of the information so that we can put it on the website for people who are interested. And,
or the show notes, wherever it shows up.
Show notes and wherever else.
All right. So what we got is a new organism, perhaps something a lot of scientists haven't seen before. Scientists are trying to figure out what exactly it is or might be. Just turned up. Anyway, the wonderful pond lady was in on this. She's still in on it. It's still tearing up the Twitter zone in the scientific geek community. But Amy says we don't think it's an alien. We don't think it's going to take over the world. We don't think the guy's going to end up like the Blob. But what?
I will say that just goes to show that you never know what you're going to find in your pond.
There you go. You never know what you're going to find in your pond, and that's for sure. All right, this has been Pond Talk with Crappie Hippie, your tree-hugging redneck from eastern Kansas, having a good time as usual with Amy Robeson, the Pond Lady. See you next time. Peace out.
Bye, guys.
All right, thanks, Crappie Hippie and Pond Lady. Christopher, what do you think about that crazy story?
I'm blown away. About as weird as penises that, or not penises, but fish that.
All you can think about is penises now.
I know. I have a 12-year-old boy here.
Well, hey, thank you so much for helping me out tonight on the Fish Nerds podcast. We're going to wrap the show up right now, and I'll do that. So that's it. You've listened to a bunch of Fish Nerds when you should have been fishing. Special thanks to the Crappie Hippie in the Pond Lady for giving us that great story. Big thanks to Christopher DeVos, who makes the podcast for, it's called Podcast 42, right?
Podcast 42. And I also do the Podfix Presents mixtape.
Which is just kind of a bunch of collections of Podfix shows.
Yes. And me just rambling in between them, like a radio DJ.
Which we do. That's how we roll.
Yep.
All right. And big thanks to Wally Pleasant for our opening theme music. And big thanks to Diane's Bath Salts for our news theme music. Okay, so until next time, follow the code of the Fish Nerds, spawn early and often, never trust a free lunch with strings attached, and swim against the current every chance you get. Christopher, where can people find your podcast?
We are everywhere. If you listened on a certain podcast thing, we're there. Just type in Podcast 42. probably scroll down to the third or fourth one, because usually anybody who's labeled their episode number 42 will come up, and then it'll be us.
Perfect. And 42, is that a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference?
It is a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy reference for life, the universe, and everything, which kind of gives us an open forum to talk about everything.
I know stuff.
Yeah. Great books.
Awesome.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds.
You can sing along if you want.
Fish nerds.
It's a podcast.
Just for the hell. Yeah, I played this promo
last week.
Like for 4 weeks.
Like you're in Siam, fish nerds.
And on the mixtape too.
Fish nerds.